A very good morning on behalf of Teach 630. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Shavuos Mem Hei, Shavuos 45A, pagination is 89. We'll start six lines from the top of the page. V'hachenveni al pinkaso. This is a continuation of the Mishnah that started on the facing page. The Mishnah told us that, in general, oaths of the Torah are to avoid payment, but there are specific cases where Chazal established an oath on someone who wants to collect. And these people would be Nishba in Vinotlin. They would make an oath and they would be able to collect. And one of them, the last of the five, is Hachenvani Alpinkaso, a storekeeper based on his ledger. So the Mishnah, as it elaborates on that case, tells us, Hachenveni al pinkaso ketzat. What's the case? Lo sheyoma lo kosov al pinkasi. A person can't simply say, it's written on my ledger, sh'ata chayev li mosayim zuz, you owe me 200 zuz, so pay up. That's not enough. We need what's called raglayim ledavar, some sort of circumstantial evidence that indeed this transaction makes sense. Ela omer lo, he's saying to him, in other words, it's based on a statement which the Balabayas made, in which he said to him, ten livni sarsayim chitin, give to my son a certain amount of wheat, or ten lefoali, give basically the wages to my worker. And hu omer nosati vehin omrim lo natalnu. The storekeeper says, I paid up as you wanted. I gave him the merchandise or the money. And they say, we never received it from you. And therefore, the Baal HaBayis is stuck in a quandary. He thought that his obligation would be paid up through the storekeeper, and he would only have to pay the storekeeper. And now what's turning out is that the money that he owes, the storekeeper is claiming, I paid on your behalf, so the Baal HaBayis is going to owe the storekeeper that money. But it's not going to deduct from his obligation to the son or the worker. He's still going to have to pay them. He's under the impression that he never got the services for which he's paying. He ends up either paying a second time or out of what he thought his son was going to get. So again, hu amar nasati v'nemrim lo natalnu. The storekeeper says, I gave it, and they're claiming we never received it. Hu nishba v'notel v'hinishba v'notlin. The storekeeper can swear, I gave it, and the Baal HaBayis will have to pay him. And the child or the worker are going to likewise swear, we never got it, and the Baal HaBayis is going to have to make good with them, for example, by the worker, by paying the worker. So this is the concept of chenvani al pinkaso. It has to be that there was some sort of evidence of a transaction. We had this concept in yesterday's shiur, where it's not enough for a worker to simply come over to the landowner and say, you owe me money for wages, and he just makes an oath and he gets it. There have to have been edim that he was hired. We have to have a situation that the claim makes sense. Now, the Gemara on Mem Zayin, 47b, pagination 94, continues on elaborating this case, and the Gemara tells us, it's about 10 lines from the bottom, Omar Rava, Rava said, Poalim nishba'im le-Baal HaBayis b'maymed chenveni. When they make the oath to the homeowner in order to get paid, because they're claiming that the storekeeper never paid them, it has to be done b'maymed chenveni in the presence of the storekeeper. Ki heichi delichsefu minei, so that they should perhaps be embarrassed from him, because he knows the truth. He knows that he paid them, and they're making a false oath to get second payment from the Balabayas. This is, as we saw in a previous session, the concept of the oath in which it's supposed to be done in front of the person or people who know that he's lying, or it's alleged that he's lying. So if it's the Baldin, if it's the other litigant, so then that person has to be present. If the litigant doesn't really know anything, he's just based on witnesses, so then the witnesses have to be present. But somebody who knows what's really going on should be present, so that perhaps the person can't continue with his fable if it's indeed a false claim. In Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tzadi Aleph, this concept of the ne'emonos, the trust that we place in the hands of the chenveni, the storekeeper, is elaborated. And the basic case is presented under the title of chenveni ne'emon al pinkaso, but not in a case where he's relying on the pinkas. The basic case is that the chenveni claims that he paid up, and that he wants to be believed, and indeed the Balabayas will not be able to have any claim on him, because we have a situation that the Balabayas himself doesn't know any better. In Sif Gimel, for example, one of the conditions is Bechenveni Hamakif. We're dealing with a Chenveni that's giving it on credit, and then afterwards, the Balabayas is paying up. And this is all based on the presentation of the Mishnah, that it's not just because he claims, based on his pinkas, based on his ledger, but there's a whole environment here of what occurred. However, in Se'ifim Dalid and Hay, the Mechaber and Ramah start elaborating on this concept of Chenveni al Pinkaso, even in a case where the Chenveni does not remember, and he's relying entirely on his ledger. And this would be very good source material for some of the evidence that's brought today in court cases, where the bookkeeper, for example, does not remember clearly a specific transaction, and doesn't know clearly that it was never paid up, but they know that the books of the company are accurate. In the words of the Nesivus, Hakol lefi ha'inyan, ha'pinkas v'ha'adam, kefi ra'os einei bezdin. Everything over here is going to be in the way that the judges of the bezdin perceive that this is indeed an accurate type of recording. The bookkeeper might not remember the transaction. The bookkeeper might have taken vacation and can't say for sure that they didn't pay up during the days that he or she was on vacation. How do they say any testimony here at all? But what they're saying is that the ledger is accurate. If something was deposited, if it was paid by check, we would know about it. Everything is recorded. Cash, we record it. And they show that the ledgers of the company are accurate, then they can come to Beis Din and make a claim that they dispersed the merchandise based on the request, and that it was never paid up, and that everything is recorded appropriately to verify that. Then there will be cases where we can accept the paper trail in the court case, certainly at least as a consideration. A case that's brought where a person recorded how much the loan was for which he's taking this mashkon, this collateral. So he's got it recorded there, even if he doesn't remember clearly how much it was worth. But if he knows that he recorded things accurately all the time, and one of the conditions that's brought, Pischei Tshuva mentions, is Ba'adam shekosev asakov miyad. He has to be writing it down right away. Not that by recollection he writes it down periodically. He writes everything down meticulously right away. Then there are cases where we would be able to accept what was written there because we know the system. We know that whatever's written there is written accurately. So we have a fascinating concept here where the Mishnah records Chen v'Nealpin Kaso, that the storekeeper is trusted regarding his ledger, and it sounds like all the time. And the Mishnah then backs off and says, Lo Shayomar Lo. No, it's not talking about a case where it's simply written on his ledger and he could extract money, but rather it had to be a whole construct where he was told to disperse to these people, and he claims he did what he was told to do, and that's why, since there's an environment, he's going to be believed. But in actual halacha, there are applications in which we would have a different type of raglayim ledavar, reasons to believe that indeed the Pinchas is accurate, and if such is true, there would be the opportunity to rely on the paper trail. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.